Welcome to the Fearless Beauties Podcast, a space dedicated to shattering beauty standards and celebrating the diversity of the industry. On season 5, we're getting back to our roots with a focus on education on treating melanin-rich skin. We'll be interviewing beauty school owners, entrepreneurs, and instructors as we amplify voices of color, sharing stories of innovation, inspiration, and empowerment. So settle in and get ready to be inspired. Welcome back to Season 5, Episode 10 of the Fearless Beauties Podcast. It's always bittersweet, but today is the day we close up yet another great season. On this episode, we've got special guest Brenda Woolley, where we will be talking about something near and dear to her heart, prioritizing ethics in skincare. I am your host, Alina Velez.
I'm your co-host, Asia Lowe.
And I'm your other co-host, Beatrice Van.
Brenda, welcome to the show. We just want to thank you in advance for your vulnerability, sharing your story, and we are just so excited to amplify your incredibly inspiring story.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here. It is a pleasure meeting all of you.
Welcome, welcome.
Heck yeah.
Welcome,
welcome. Yes. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and read your bio for our listeners who don't know you. So, born in Haiti, Brenda carries a deep appreciation for her roots, which have profoundly shaped her journey. Growing up, she witnessed the people around her caring for one another using the organic resources available to them, a lesson in healing and resilience that would later guide her own path. At the age of 11, she moved to the United States and quickly embraced American culture. Life became a beautiful journey with every moment, adversity, and heartbreak, leading her to the present, a place of purpose and fulfillment. At 17, Brenda entered the foster care system. Driven by survival instincts, she didn't have the space to fully heal or process what her heart desperately needed. Instead, she pursued higher education, earning both an undergraduate degree and a master's degree, chasing something that had been in front of her all along, her own reflection. But she doesn't regret earning those degrees one bit because she developed some incredible connections, lived with some indescribable moments, and made a lot of unbreakable bonds during those 6 years. Since the age of 13, she had battled acne, a struggle that intensified during college and graduate school, leading to deep emotional distress and depression. Countless visits to dermatologists and estheticians left her searching for deeper answers. It was then that she turned inward, researching, practicing, and embracing the internal healing she desperately needed. Through this journey, the mirror became more than a reflection. It became a revelation. Healing her skin helped her heal from years of trauma, regain her confidence, and ultimately discover her true calling. This transformation led her to become an esthetician, dedicated to helping others find their own purpose and feel at home in their skin, despite what the world may tell them. Now based in Dallas, Texas, Brenda has been in the aesthetics industry for nearly 2 years. Her 13-year struggle with acne was not a burden, but a blessing, guiding her toward a career where she empowers others to embrace their beauty inside and out. She's profoundly grateful for her supportive friends, family, and the incredible clients she serves, each one a testament to the power of resilience, self-love, and healing. Man.
Wow.
If y'all don't have chill bumps yet, pinch yourself. Like, that's just incredibly inspiring, Brenda.
Thank you.
Asia, go ahead and kick us off with the first question, please.
All right. So, in the aesthetics industry, where trends and treatments are consistently evolving, what does it truly mean to practice ethically to you?
To me personally, it means being extremely honest and transparent about what you can do for your clients. Mm-hmm. And knowing when to collab with someone and reference them out to another individual that can potentially help them. Mm-hmm. But it's also being honest about the description of the services, what you claim you're going to offer these clients. You have to do it in the treatment room. You can't say your facial offers X, Y, and Z, but only do A, B, C, you know? Mm-hmm. The biggest thing I've seen is also being honest about your communication. How long does it really take for these results to achieve? I tell all of my acne clients, it's not a perfect journey. I've like cleared my skin. I've broke out again. It just depends also about what's going on emotionally as well. Mm-hmm. So having that open line of communication with them and allowing that space for them to ask the right question has allowed me to ethically curate a treatment plan for them that actually helps them.
Yeah, and just setting those realistic expectations. I love that.
Yes. The expectations are big.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Brenda, like your journey just shows so much deep care for people with just everything that, you know, the adversity that you had to go through all those years, and then finding your calling and your passion. So as estheticians, we know, we're all healers. We want to be healers. We're nurturers, right?
Yeah.
And so we want to help everybody. But there are times when we have to make tough ethical decisions. So what are some ethical dilemmas you've encountered, and how do you navigate them?
I think the biggest one that I've encountered is knowing like when to go aggressive with the treatment plan, and like knowing when not to recommend certain products. Recommending unnecessary products and aggressive treatments have been something that like I have encountered before working for someone else, when they were like pushing for me to sell products to hit quotas. Mm-hmm. And I had to just walk away from that job because I knew internally what I was doing, it wasn't aligned with who I am. So I think oftentimes when you are fresh out of school, you're graduated, you want to build your portfolio, you want to work for a spa, you want to learn more. Sometimes we're with that eagerness that we experience, we can kind of like fall into the wrong practice. And that's something I encountered. And my solution was simply walking away and finding a place that I was able to actually focus on the client first and not just my sales.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah.
I think people can feel that the authenticity and when you're trying to sell something, right? When you have their best interest and it's like, hey, this is going to be good for you because of this, right? When you can give a good explanation. But when you're just, you know, throwing product in their face, it can sometimes push them away and not want to come see you for treatments. You know what I mean?
It's sure. Like, yeah, my first job was a virtual consultation. So literally I was in the DMs just shooting out recommendations. And that's when I realized, I was like, this is so unethical in so many different ways that mm-hmm. I can't do this. And I had to just find my own path and have that conversation, but also being honest, because oftentimes, you know, the standards that our clients see virtually, it's not always accurately. So when they come into treatment, they're like, hey, Brenda, I saw this girl got 3 pills and she was able to achieve this. And I'm like, hey, this pill actually wouldn't work for your skin type. Mm-hmm. So having that conversation when I do it, like, has definitely helped a lot of times in like building that trust with my transparency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That educational piece and telling them the why, right? Yeah. So beyond technical skills and, you know, skills in the treatment room and aesthetic knowledge, what are some essential soft skills that estheticians need to succeed as an entrepreneur?
Confidence. Oh my God. You guys, when I say confidence has carried me in rooms that I didn't think were even open to me.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I graduated school, I had 2 offers on the table with spas, and it was simply because I was so confident that like my teachers taught me the right things, that I knew that I can do this, and I believe that there was a bigger picture and God had something so major for me in life that no matter what, I was going to get where I needed to be and to help the clients that I needed to help. So I really believe, like, as entrepreneur, we have to be confident in our craft. We have to be confident in who we are and what is written for us. If your heart is in aesthetics, you're going to thrive in aesthetics. If you're confident in your skills, your clients can feel that. Your touch tells your clients how, like, it's such an energy transfer. Your clients can literally feel that confidence in you when you massage their face, when you apply mm-hmm. that product. When you're in that treatment room with them, it's a spiritual experience to me, because you're watching your client's skin transform. Every little thing matters. And also actively listening. I have an open line with my friends, to the point where, with my clients, to the point where some clients were like, Brenda, you need to charge after hours because you're always responding to us. You know? Like, one of them, she was like, you need to have, she's a nurse. She was like, you need to have these after hours, like, on call, like, fees or something. And I'm like, no, like, I'm a voice note girly. If you shoot me a text, you're like, hey, Brenda, like, I had a client. She's like, hey, I want to work on my inner thigh. Do I book a vajayshal? I'm like, no, bestie, like, book an inner thigh treatment. Like, that's, I'm going to focus solely on that. And she was like, you responded to me at 9 p.m. at night. The thing about it is, it's like, it's, I'm building my business, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm in the building blocks of, I'm going to build that trust no matter how big, no matter how small my clientele is. I'm going to always communicate with them. And that mentality has allowed me to have, allowed me so much success in this industry for how like early I am within those stages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember those days of just picking up the phone and just answering at even sometimes at midnight, right? Because you want to connect and you want to be there for them. And,
yes.
And now, like, as you know, I like kind of like go back and I think about it. It's like I still have some boundaries, but yeah. I still have a hard time creating those boundaries because yes. I do want to always be that person, right? But sometimes yes. you have to know when to fill your cup as well.
Absolutely.
And I talk about that to Asia and Alina all the time.
Yeah.
Yes, that's something I struggle with as well. I definitely like, I'm like, now I'm working on practices that set time for myself specifically. Mm-hmm. But I definitely agree. Like, and acne is so, it's so intimate, you guys know. And so it's like having that bond with your clients and that intimacy of like they trust you, it changes the game for them internally, which also shows topically as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think trust too leads them to open up and talk about their personal life, which then you might in return find out like, oh my gosh, girl, you realize how much stress you're under? Like you realize that is can be potentially feeding this condition. Like,
mm-hmm.
So it's just like this like domino effect of, you know, opening doors and understanding them on a personal level so that, boom, you can understand their lifestyle, which therefore you can understand their skin, right?
Yes, I'd be like, that. It's that man. The man is stressing you out, bestie. The pimples are, you know, but I definitely, it definitely does show, like, I have, like, when they open up that door, you're like, oh, wait, you smoke? Oh, wait, you didn't put that on your form, but you just said you vape last, like you went to the hookah lounge regularly.
Right.
You know? So you get little hints here and there, you're like, okay, let's bring in the oxygen a little bit more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely helps having that conversation. And time management to an organization plays a huge part in the effectiveness of your business when it comes to last, like for your business to last and having those conversations.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
All right. So as we know, the aesthetics industry thrives on social media. But how can estheticians create content authentically without feeling pressured to conform to unrealistic beauty standards?
I think the biggest thing is to not only define your voice, but your brand as well, and educate and not just sell. When I get on TikTok, in my head, I picture one of my girlfriends that I'm in the bedroom and we're just chatting up. She comes up, she's like, hey Brenda, I'm struggling with this, or hey, I've experienced this. So when I get on social media, I picture it as like my little, I'm talking to the girls, we're just having a chat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to really be myself and take away that anxiety, that social anxiety of, oh, I have to come a certain way, I have to speak a certain way. And as someone that struggles with ADHD and like a lot of times, like, I'm stumbling on my words, I used to allow that to consume me and keep me from, creating, because I'd be like, oh my gosh, I messed up this one word, I'm not going to post this entire video. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, hey, this is real. Like, this is real time. And because I've been so honest with who I am, I've, like, shown not only the education side of, like, aesthetics, but also the emotional side, my own personal journey, how, like, it's not just about my, like, skill set. It's about, hey, I've lived this, I've experienced this, I still encountered this. This is what I've done. Mm-hmm. This is what I know has credibility. And I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm just here to inform you and share this information and share and maybe be a part of your journey at the end. And I engage with everyone, like, no matter, like, the littlest comment, I'm engaging. The littlest DM, I'm engaging, because everyone matters, you know, every little interaction matters, and you never know what that small interaction could lead to. And I'm a big person, I'm like, everything aligns exactly how it needs to.
Mm-hmm.
And being honest, like I show up as who I am, to where like not anyone that's reached out for any collaboration, any friendships through social media, they're like, Brenda, like, you're exactly who you are on social media. Or clients that find me on social media, they're like, hey girl, you're actually really that goofy in person.
Yeah, you have
or
to,
like, hey, you're kind of short. I'm like, yeah, I'm a little boy.
Yeah, you have to let people see your personality.
Yeah, it's just really just being relatable and showing real skin and real results. I don't advertise anything the brand has given me. I advertise what I have used from that brand and what results I've received. I think it's so easy to be, for example, when the Bowery Peel reached out, everybody rolled out mostly like that specific content of applying it, but not many before and afters. So as an individual, I brought that in the treatment room with my boss at the time, and we tested it out. And when I saw certain results and certain things I lacked, I then were honest with my clientele about what, this is what I got from this, not what the brand has told me I can get from it. This is what I've actually achieved.
Right.
So that's a big thing, like showing your true results, not what the brand is telling you, showing the true before and afters that you achieve with that brand.
I think that's powerful, Brenda, especially because you're so early on in your career. And I think that so many people in your position, not everybody, but so many people are just like taking every opportunity, like trying everything, like, you know, and not sitting with it and being like, is this for me? Does this align with what I believe in and my ethics and morals and things like that? And so that is just such like a, just like so rich in wisdom. And I think it's a huge lesson that a lot of people can learn from, you know, that not every opportunity is for you. Not every, you know, skincare line is going to, you know, harmonize with you and your clientele and your demographic, yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. Sharing what you actually believe in, not what's trending.
Absolutely. Yep. And it like carries on longer when you're true to your core. Your longevity in this field, I really feel like I have clients that has been with me since I was an esthetician in school, you know, so it's just like, it's powerful to see that. Like, girl, you've been rocking with me since I didn't know what I was doing, but
right.
But it's because I was transparent, like, hey, I'm learning, hey, I'm at school, hey, this is what's going on, you know, but yeah. I really just, and also giving yourself permission to take breaks, because I feel like when you're on go on social media as well, it can kind of become repetitive and robotic, and your clients can tell that. So then you lose your audience because you're in that, I got to create, but then it's not true to your creation. So then essentially it's not landing how it usually lands when you're your authentic self.
Do you go live ever?
I used to go on TikTok live every now and then, but I have not stepped on live on Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just curious. That's a real way to, right, like be really real and raw, because it's boom right there in the moment.
No edits.
Right.
Hey, no girl. Edits for sure.
I don't like that.
My RBF is showing. Oh my gosh.
That's real.
Well, Brenda, you've been talking a lot about, like, you know, like from your first job of being a virtual consultant and, like, you know, like it sounds like being ethical and all that. And that's why we're on this episode.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you navigate situations where a client requests a treatment that you believe is not in their best interest, but either due to their skin type or their health condition or just really having unrealistic expectations? So I know that you've experienced firsthand how frustrating and how emotionally skin struggles can be. So how do you have that conversation when you have to say no?
Well, I educate and I don't just say no. Okay. So I explain why the treatment isn't suitable, and I really push, like, I'll offer them an alternative for that treatment. And if they decide, hey, actually, I'm going to go somewhere else and do it, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with always walking away from something if I know it's in your best interest. So I've had clients that are like, hey, girl, I want a dermaplane my face. And I'm like, friend, there's cystic breakouts left and right. You have an open wound here. I ethically cannot do this for you because I am going to spread bacteria. I can potentially open up this active breakout with the blade. So I prefer not to do it because of the risk that I know potentially. I know how, like, spreading bacteria on the skin can really cause your breakouts to continue on way longer than they should. And I also use just the visuals, and I stand firm, and I'm like, I'm very empathetic about, I understand you want this. I understand this may be coming up. You may want the dermaplaning. You may want the chemical peel, but you just came from vacation and you're sunburnt, you know? And I'm just honest with it because I truly believe, like, no matter what, it's not about the money. It's not about the sale. It's about what the client needs. That's going to carry the most weight. You know, So I should stay in motion. I'm honest with them. I stand firm in my decision. I've walked away from hundreds and hundreds of dollars because I'm just like, I understand this is what you may want, but I can't provide it. But also, if there's something that they ask and I know it doesn't align with what I can do, I just reference them out to someone else as well.
Mm. That's beautiful. Like, continue to collaborate with the community. Yes,
absolutely. Because a lot of times social media tells us one thing when we really need other things, you know, not everything is going to work for everyone. So if I know this is not good for you right now, I'm not going to do it for you.
Mm-hmm. And the money's still going to come.
I swear, real quick, I used to be a server and I used to think like, oh my gosh, like I'm not in the right section tonight. I'm not going to make this money. And I'm in college stressing out. And when I tell y'all, no matter what's meant for you always comes for you. I'll be in the right section and I'll make my money exactly how I need to. So yes. If you're stressing out about booth rent, you're stressing out about product, you got to buy your back bar. And you're like, how am I going to make this? I promise you, in the last second, somebody's going to buy something out of nowhere, or you're going to get like 3 bookings in one day, or an opportunity to collab, and they pay you, and you're like, here are the funds that I needed, and I'm glad I stayed true to who I am.
That's huge.
Absolutely.
Tell us, for aspiring estheticians or those who are, you know, maybe just starting out and in the first couple years of their career, how can somebody build a fulfilling ethical practice? I feel like you maybe touched on this a little bit, but to really just make a truly positive impact on their clients' lives, what are some things that estheticians can do?
I definitely say education first. I'm always learning. I'm never going to stop learning, and I've accepted that. I'm not the expert on everything, and I am always open to that conversation, and I'm always listening in those rooms. So prioritize not just mentorship, but credible resources that provide good education, good continued education. And don't just focus on what the brand are telling you. Focus on what the science is saying. Verify your claims, but also put your clients first. If you're worried about the profit, you're not going to stay in long in this industry, because I've watched countless of my classmates walk away from this field, and we've only been out of school for 2 years. And other estheticians as well, they're like, oh, I thought I would be making money already, but it's not happening. So if profit is your number one priority, you're not going to last as long as you would last. Your heart has to be in it, and you have to care about the person that you're treating. Your client is important. Everyone is important. But also, building that relationship, it's not just about your clientele list. Remember that it's an individual. Progress takes time. Be honest and tell them what you can and cannot do. That's going to play the biggest role in everything, but also finding your niche and knowing that, you know, it's a healing journey as much as it is like a topical journey.
I think, like, you know, like you've kind of hit it on the docket there of, like, you know, knowing your niche, knowing what you can and cannot do, right? And so, like, I think for where it's like really beautiful to see you, Brenda, like being in this industry for 2 years, you sound like you've been like a senior, like you've been doing this forever. So I just, like, you know, with your brand identity and you as an esthetician, you really know who you are and what you want, your mission and your branding. And so when you are thinking about that, and for newer estheticians out there who are not really sure what their path looks like and having situations of not knowing their brand identity and not knowing what services or products that they're bringing in, how would you give advice to an esthetician to help them build the trust with clients who may have had a negative experience with themselves or other skincare professionals in the past?
I would say the biggest thing would be listening without judgment. I think it's quick to be like, oh yeah, like, they did what? There's no way. You know, just listening and just allowing them the space to feel like, okay, this is what the client experienced. This is what they're telling us. Validate their feelings and open that discussion and hear their expectations. And also start slow. Like, allow yourself to have five clients a week. Allow yourself that space to learn and not just rush and wanting your books to be filled. Because mm-hmm. when you're trying to pack on all these clients, you're not going to have the mental space as well to truly learn and understand and notice the small little things that can carry on longevity-wise. And that's the biggest thing. I think I was so blessed that my books in the beginning were so slow because I had so much downtime at the spa to study, to learn new things, to try new techniques, to really go deeper, to cocktail each client that I saw that week, no matter if it was one or two or one to five or one in eight. It felt so good to know that, like, I give them my all because this is who I'm focused on. Nothing else is distracting me. I'm not running around with like 7,000 tasks and I have to get back in the treatment room. You're going to get to that point where you are back to back, where you are busy, where you have that clientele. So be patient with yourself. That's the biggest thing. Is I'm so blessed that I had that slowness in the beginning because it allowed me the space to become who I am now, to where even though I'm still learning, I've learned so much during those times. That's really the biggest thing. And just follow up and show you care. Like, I show up, like, when I was building my social media and my presence in the treatment room, I showed up as, hey, girl, I'm here for you. This is a journey. I'm by your side. Whatever you need, I'm your girlfriend. Like, I am your mentor if you need it. I'm your best friend if you need it. I'm your wingman. Whatever you need emotionally, I'm there for you. That's why, like, the girls that those first 10 clients I had the first 4 months of school, they're rocking with me like nobody's business in the comment section, in the DMs. Like, they're sending people out to me because I stood tall with them in a moment where they felt alone. And I know what that felt like because I went to an esthetician that she was booked and busy. She had all these resources, but she didn't see me for who I was in front of her at the time. Mm. That intentional time. And life gets crazy. You know, you're running a business, admin stuff, back bar, personal life, the treatment room. So it's like, it's okay for the slow season. Slow season is good, especially as a new esthetician. It's great for you to work intentionally and also emotionally to see if this is where you're meant to be.
Mm-hmm. That's real. There's lessons in every season. I love that. Yes. I love that mindset. And I love that you have that. Like, not everybody can look at the slow seasons and be like, what can I be learning right now? Like, let me just go ahead and just take this time to just sharpen these other areas of my career, you know, because I know the clients are going to come. It's just a season, right?
Yes. Stay in motion, but stay present.
That's a great reminder. Mm-hmm. Like, I needed to hear that, Brenda. Thanks. I really did. Real. It's real, girl. It's real.
Just learning how to prioritize your time like that. If you have downtime, utilize it in whatever aspect you need to grow your business or grow yourself personally. People think that it's just going to become easy or it's going to come easy to them, and it might, but for some it doesn't. And so utilize that time. So, yeah.
And sometimes it's forced, you know, like, mm-hmm. I think sometimes, like, we're forced to take that break. Sometimes you do need a few cancellation because, girl, you've been on go for 15 days straight and you haven't taken a break. Mm-hmm. So maybe you needed that cancellation to just sit and breathe and just be present with yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's purpose in everything. I agree 1,000 times.
Yes. All right. What is one thing you wish you knew earlier on in your career?
Oh, man. The impossible is more possible than you think. That's something. Ooh,
that is so good. Wow, I love that.
Say that again, Brenda.
The impossible is more possible than you think. And I know that for a fact because I'm the impossible.
You are.
Yes. And I stand in that, y'all. Like, I mean, when I left... and graduated grad school, and I told my parents, like, I'm 23 and I have this midlife quest, and I know I don't have a midlife crisis yet, but I have this quest that God has put in my heart. Like, I'm meant to do this, you know? And I carried, like, I mean, it felt impossible at the time. And I look back at it, all the sacrifice, y'all. I was working doubles on the weekends, going to school full time. Like, but it felt like it was impossible when you thought about it. But when you just get in motion and you just go and you go and you go, you're like, oh, I did that. You know, like I thought it was impossible, but I just did that. So that's the biggest thing. Something I wish I knew would be like owning my own business now and having my own location, my own suite, something that I look forward to for such a long time. And I thought it would be impossible. But I've realized that like everything has its time. And there's always going to be a way, because what's written for you will always find you, no matter how you try to like veer off or like how life may throw you some curveballs. What's meant for you will always align with you. So it's not about the service you offer. It's about how well you serve the right clients. It can be tempting to cater to everyone, but what's most important is just to cater to the ones that value you as well and are willing to be patient with you as well, you know? So that's just the biggest thing for me is.
That's huge. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and close out this episode with this last question. What is next for you in the beauty industry? Are you working on any cool projects? You have anything exciting coming up? Share with the listeners what you got going on here in the near future.
The biggest thing for me next is just focus on my impact and my growth. And I really want to just host more workshops where we talk about trauma in skin and how how like trauma can really impact your acne, how it can impact how you feel and like how like your body reacts to certain things as well. And just opening up that space and collaborating with other individuals in the mental and wellness space and really focusing on what it means to focus on the skin within so you can see it topically. That's the biggest thing, because I would love to have a wellness bar where we focus on the vault, which is you and what you put into you. You know, everything you put into your body, your mental, your spirit, it shows topically. And that's just really big for me because I've seen that firsthand. Like when I stopped pouring the alcohol, going out, not focusing on healing my emotional heartaches, I broke out. I had the worst breakout of my life, you know, and I felt so horrible mentally because I was pouring all the wrong things into me. It didn't matter that I had the top A products, you know, it doesn't matter. Right. It's also like it all goes hand in hand. Healing is very much like it's a full system.
Mind, body, soul.
Absolutely. Clock it.
All right. Well, tell the people where they can connect with you and find you on social media.
I am on Instagram as The Skin Vault Spa, and I'm on TikTok as The Skin Vault. And yeah, that's on me.
Awesome. And as always, give us a follow on Instagram at Fearless Beauties. You can find me at True Skin Lab.
You can find me at Aesthetics by Asia LLC on Instagram.
And you can find me at Beauty by BBEAPDX on Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brenda, again, for your time and your wisdom and rocking with us today. It's been real.
Thank you all so much. You guys have made this amazing. This right here is so powerful. You ladies are doing something incredible. And I truly appreciate just my little segment moment that meant so much to me. And I really appreciate every single one of y'all.
We're closing the season with the bang.
Yes, we are.
Yes. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll catch you on the next season.